The art of construction, it's not just building, it's trying to make sense of stuff. And I don't care if we're talking about making sense of instructions from IKEA or one that I just dealt with a few minutes ago, trying to make sense of text messages from your children. How many of you have ever had that moment? My son just started driving last week. It's terrifying. Every time that kid gets in a car, a piece of my heart is going off with him, all right? And he sends me a message this afternoon, because they're getting out of school earlier these days. And he tells me that he wants to go to a store. And I go, "Where do you want to go?" And his response was, "I want to go to an end of an era." And I don't know what that is, okay? So I'm saying, I should have called Mike Falkenberg. Falkenberg would have been able to tell me that is like a record store here in Austin. I did not know what this was. And I spent the next 5 minutes feverishly trying to pound out messages with the lead front man and bass player of Fascist Peach Cobbler. That's my kid's band. I'm hammering this thing out, trying to figure out what he wants. And I'm telling you, we do this all the time in our lives. We do it when we're trying to get our dry cleaning. We do it when we try to go order pizza. I'm one of those guys, I go to a restaurant, I never order anything that's not exactly on the menu. Number four, please. Number three, please. My wife is like, "Number four, hold the mayonnaise. Make sure that the pickles are over here." I'm like, good luck with that, all right? I, on the other hand, wish we had some uniform criteria as to how we could all communicate to try to get us all on the same page. Well, that is, to a certain degree, what we do in law. And I want to welcome you, word warriors, each and every one of you. There are 93,000 lawyers. There are 3,200 judges. And we're an eclectic group, to say the least. But we're unified by words. We're unified by words, and if you were to think of the law as being a tangled up necklace of pearls, you can think of this string that runs through them that unifies us. Yeah, and I know most of the time we're not down with kumbaya moments, but maybe today we might need that type of a moment. We're all in this together. You like it or not, we're all reading from the same sheet music. We might not be singing at the same pitch. We might not be looking at it from the same angle. But at the end of the day, the one thing we know is that the law is the cross of our calling. It's what we're doing. And then there's a question of how do we do it? So let's start off by saying, when I use this metaphor throughout this paper, the war of the words, I'm not really talking about the war that's happening between opposing counsel. I mean, there is that clash, of course. There's that clash that all of you have been perfecting ever since you were in high school debate. There's that clash that you learned when you did mock trial and moot court in law school. I mean, most of you have been trying to become as disagreeable as possible for most of your careers. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, we are really all in this. And you know where that conflict happens first? It happens in your mind. It happens when you're trying to read the law. And listen, this begs some very complicated questions. I got this from my grandmother when I was in my third year of law school at SMU. For those of you who it's time for you to renew your prescription for your eyeglasses, I will help you if I can through my progressive lenses. Law school taught me one thing: how to take two situations that are exactly the same and show how they are different. Now, I get that now, but I'm going to tell you, I was pretty much offended that Grandma Turner gave that to me back in 1997, because I thought it kind of cast shade on what we do. But maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's the inherent nature of the art. And it is an art. It is an art. And to be clear, what we're talking about is not a science. And probably if it was a science, most of us would not have gone to law school, because the old trope and stereotype about most lawyers not being that good at math, well, it's actually true. Don't get me wrong. I know some of y'all just, were holy rollers and pre-Cal. But I'm saying most of us were lucky to make it through. Most of us tried to avoid taking a college algebra. Okay. So I need to ask you a question before we really get rolling on this. How did you learn to read the law? And what makes you think that we're all reading it the same way? This is becoming a national discussion. This is one of the fastest growing discussions not just in academic circles, but in practicing legal circles. Quick show of hands here. How many of you graduated from law school prior to the release of the first Star Wars movie in 1977? We've got people, come on, anyone in there? I threw you off with the Star Wars reference. Okay, let me just drop this. How many of you started practicing law before the presidency of Ronald Reagan? Okay, now let me ask you this. How many of you started practicing law in the 1980s? In the 1980s, okay. For those of you who start practicing law in the 1980s, this is a question for you and only you. Did you take or were you required to take a statutory construction class as part of your legal studies in law school? Okay, I'm going to guess right now. Went to Baylor Law School, didn't you? Okay. Now, okay, I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag because all you Baylor people, y'all just want to like, y'all are going to be like first-year gunners wanting to get that. Yes, yes. Professor Beal is present in this paper. He's in the paper. And yes. So, but let me go a little bit further.